from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco.
Don't admit to being a thief on the text line. We got your phone number. I mean, somebody admitting that they go through the self-checkout line and steal items because they think that's their fee for doing the job.
Royals win last night 3-0. Johnny Cueto makes his return. The fans are respectful when he's pulled in the seventh inning. He gets like a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Everybody has a good time watching Johnny Cueto still be the
same.
Two
times in 10 years, he's helping the Royals get to the World Series.
That's right. But good to see last night. That's the type of Royals game you want to see as you move forward towards this bullpen, or towards this playoff, towards this riptide of a playoff push with the schedule that comes up for the next 3 weeks. All the way to September 15th, we'll see where the Royals are at that time. Currently, 2.5 games out of first place, tied with Minnesota in second place of the AL Central, and also tied with Minnesota with a second place wild card spot. 3.5 games above Boston. Everybody else has kind of fallen off, and it is technically a 6-team race now as the playoffs continue to move forward. But this Royals team seems to maybe be a dark horse favorite. With a lot of people on MLB Network, I've seen Cliff Floyd talk about it. I've seen Pedro Martinez talk about it. A lot of guys on the major outlets, and especially here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports, this team seems to be the right kind of team to be built. They have a superstar. They have a veteran with experience that can kind of keep the team grounded, let them know that it's never too late. Obviously, it's been 7-3 in late inning games, and Salvador Perez has been the hero. But also, you go into this season and to this postseason and try to make this big push. And yesterday we were kind of talking about, okay, this bullpen stinks. Like, what are you going to do with it? Yeah, the current bullpen that they carry might not be the best, but there's still guys like Alec Marsh that could be a guy that could eat innings late. You have a rotation that is quite solid. And last night it was Lorenzen's turn to kind of pick up the bad start that was not a bad start, but the Royals just kind of, you know, didn't hold things together pitching wise. And Cole Reagans maybe wasn't an ace or a dominant ace that he was in the past few starts when he played against the Angels on Tuesday night. But again, this team to me is a team that can be built for the playoffs. They have no pressure. They have a rotation that is well loaded, and you can move guys back to the backside of the bullpen, and they have a lineup that can produce runs. And if you have a lineup that can produce 3 runs a night and a team that can extend their bullpen by putting starters who would start probably for playoff teams and as a third person, that kind of adds depth where you really need depth, and you can be a playoff team for sure.
Well, I think this Royals team is more built to win in the postseason right now than they are in the regular season. And you know, postseason baseball is completely different. You need that back end of the bullpen to be really, really good. And I think the Royals can get there. They may not have to go outside the organization. You know, we've talked about signing Trevor Bauer, and I think that would be good for them. But if you're not going to go out and do something like that, and obviously moves can't be made, you know, at this point in time, I think the Royals have an opportunity in-house to do something with their pitching staff that maybe many folks aren't thinking about. Just because you're a starter in the regular season doesn't mean you're going to be a starter in the postseason. And the fact of the matter is you really need 2, maybe a third starter at most during the postseason. You look at the first series. It's going to be a 3-game series in the wild card. You're going to play that at wherever. Probably don't have a home game unless you win that wild card round, right? And then you move home, and then it's the best of 5, the best of whatever. whatever it is, right? And so the first series, you only need two starters, essentially, right? That's essentially what you need, is two starters to go out there and win those two games. Who are you going to pitch in those games? You're going to probably pitch Reagan. You're probably going to pitch Lugo, mm-hmm. right? So instead of worrying about the back end of the bullpen not getting the job done, that's where you start to go, okay, now it's time to move some of these starters to the bullpen, because in the postseason, with off days and you know what you need to do to win series, you only really need two dominant starters. You win games one and two, you win games six and seven with your dominant starters, you've won the series. And that means you can use a guy like Waka, a guy like Lorenzen, a guy like Singer, potentially, if you don't have him in the starting role, in the bullpen. And then you take the pressure off these guys that aren't producing well right now in this bullpen. Obviously, Ursaig is your only reliable guy in the bullpen right now, but how much better does your bullpen look if you, in the postseason, maybe you have Brady Singer coming in for an inning, maybe you have Lorenzen coming in for an inning, maybe you have Waka coming in for an inning, and you kind of change up those roles and you start utilizing your most reliable guys. And I think that's where the Royals can have an advantage, because you're not going to need five starters in the postseason. Now all of a sudden you can shift those starters to the bullpen, and they can be the guys that can go out there and get those outs, and then you don't have to rely on that bullpen. The question is, will the bullpen as designed now hold up for the Royals to get into the postseason? And so I think it would be tougher for the Royals to get into the postseason with this bullpen than it will be to win in the postseason, because I think the bullpen undergoes a facelift and we see starters in there.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll have Ben Maller join the show. But before we do that, we can keep talking about this Royals roster built. I like to give it a video game analogy, Bob. Okay. I know you probably haven't played video games in a really long time, but Mac, you might feel like you might get this as well. The Royals right now, overall in a video game, right, might be like an 85, 86, somewhere around there. Their bullpen would probably be like a 75.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the playoffs, if they make it, they should make it, there's still an 80. There could be an 87. Because what you do is you take some of those starters and move them to the bullpen, and it takes your overall rate in the bullpen from like a 75 to like a 80. Because you've added legit arms. Like, you're having a guy like Michael Lorenzen, mm-hmm. who's already been a bullpen guy, who can be a hybrid. Now it's like, hey, you don't need to throw 92, go throw 96. Hey, Alec Marsh, use that big ass of yours and throw it 99 for an inning. Then all of a sudden you look at this team, and all of a sudden people on MLB Network or local radio goes, man, could you imagine they use those guys next year in those roles, and we just go, you know, get a starter in the offseason? Like, maybe they do your wish that you would love. They go sign Blake Snell for a lot of money, who's 32. And they're like, you know what? We signed starters because we moved one of them to the bullpen. And then it's like they have Chris Bubich back. And then your five-man rotation is what it is. And I think when you add that towards a playoff push, plus you add depth to your – you look at a guy like MJ Melendez. Maybe he's just a guy that faces up against right-handed pitching.
Are people like done hating on MJ now? Like, that's over, right? We're done with that?
Well, I think they've lowered expectations, and I think they know what his role is now. Yeah. He's not an everyday player. He's a good defensive replacement in late games, and he's also a good
bat.
And then he's also just, you know, a guy that's going to hit probably 20 home runs a year, hit 240, and, you know, give you what it is. But last night, obviously, the home run that kind of locked the game up, because it was only 3-0. But still, I think that they're a team that, like you said, their attributes go up a little bit higher when you can adjust and polish and kind of add some cushion to a place that's been, you know, kind of sparse and kind of dangerous all year. And it's a good thing to see, because maybe these guys won't be, you know, bullpen guys next year. But when it comes to the playoff push, you only need a three-man rotation. You're clearly going Reagan's, Lugo, Singer. That means Waka, Marsh, when he comes back. When you expand rosters, probably is when he comes back. But you have Marsh, Waka, Lorenzen, Ursaig, Bubich. Like, you might not see Will Smith.
He may not make the postseason roster. MacArthur may not make the postseason roster. Schreiber may not make the postseason roster. Like, there's going to be a lot of roster juggling that has to go on if this team does make it into the playoffs, right? And so I wouldn't feel confident with Schreiber or MacArthur or Will Smith or any of these guys right now coming out of the bullpen in a high leverage situation. They've proven this year that they're just not reliable. And look, that's not a shot at them. That's reality.
Right.
And And so you're looking to win baseball games. This is not Little League baseball. We're not here for moral victories. We're here to find ways to win. And I was talking to some people on the text line yesterday about it. And they're like, well, I mean, you got to look. No, I don't have to look at the positive. I have to look at what's going to help this team win. And it's not these guys coming out of the bullpen throwing gasoline on the fire. How do you think the players feel right now when that bullpen door opens? Because I know all of us sitting around watching, we probably go, oh, God, our stomachs sink a little bit. And you know those players are feeling the same way because the track record has been there. The guys in the bullpen just haven't gotten the job done. So that's why I think when you get into the postseason, you're going to see a total revamp of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. You're going to see people in the bullpen that you haven't seen before, and it's going to be a completely different postseason roster than what we have right now. It needs to be a completely different postseason roster because winning in the postseason is so much more difficult and so much harder and so much different than winning in the regular season.
No doubt about it. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, our executive producer as well on this program we call Fesco and Dusty that is brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Ben Maller, he joins us every Thursday at the same time. We'll be back. Ben Maller on Fesco and Dusty. You are listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, our executive producer as well. It's that time of the week. It is Thursday, and we go talk to our guy, Ben Maller. Ben Maller joins the show here on 96.5 The Fan.
And it's all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, I'll tell you what, this flag football quarterback out here taking on Patrick Mahomes. I just got to say one thing, man. Your thoughts on this?
All right, so I love this story because this is the only way to get publicity, right? This is a marketing maven. I don't know who even knew who this guy was, but you make a statement like that. If he had come out and said, no, I cannot even polish the shoes of Patrick Mahomes. You're not mentioning it. I don't see the story, but the fact that he came out, this is brilliant, right? This is classic old school carnival barker marketing. Wonderful. I love it. I love it. I love it. And if you really want to get technical, all this guy does is play flag football, right? From what I understand, like that's his thing. So yeah, Mahomes plays real football. It's slightly different. So yeah, you could make that argument, but I love that he said it because it's wonderful for their publicity. And that guys are like in the NFL, they're dying to play flag football. Think about that. People are already lining up. The Olympics aren't till 2028 and people are already lining up. I want to be part of the Olympic team. They all want to get a little glamour from the Olympics. It's great.
What do you think would be the bottom bar for a quarterback and a flag football to represent the, like, you think Mitch Trubisky could bring home the gold against every other nation, or do you think we need somebody a little bit better than that?
Well, Dusty, you would like to think that, but I would like to see a fat man play quarterback because it's flag football. I miss the hefty lefty Jerry Lorenzen from back in the day, the great fat hope there at Kentucky and with the Giants. He won as a backup with the Giants. But why not? It's flag football. You don't have to be built like Adonis. You don't have to have washboard abs and all that stuff. Let's put a real, normal looking human being out there, a little overweight, and let it rip.
So a modern day Roethlisberger.
Yeah, modern day, even bigger, get somebody out there with a dad body, like an old, not just a young guy's dad, but I'm an old school dad body. Put him out there, balding, the whole thing, beer belly, and we'd still win. We'd still win because we're America. And we're going to get it done no matter what.
That's exactly right. That's the way you got to look at it. I love the fact that the Olympics happened and everybody now wants to participate. Baseball players want in, football players want in. You know, obviously you're caught up in the moment because you watch what the NBA stars did over there in the Olympics. But man, we go 2028 in LA. You got to have major leaguers because the saying that I've been using is the people want the people. We don't want some scrubs that we don't know about. And flag football, you tell me Patrick Mahomes is slinging it around for America. People aren't going to go crazy for that.
Oh, of course. Yes. Now, how many of these athletes want to be part of it because they get to hang out at the Olympic Village and they've heard stories about the Olympic Village? How many of these guys want to go and just go to the Olympic Village and all that? But it's wonderful. And just make it work. The NFL, we've done this a long time. Every week I come on with you. We shoot the breeze and all that. We talk about my love of the chicken fingers, the landing with my name on them and all that. But for years, there's been an open secret. The NFL would love to wake up one morning and just play flag football. And their life would be much easier if people would watch it. And this is a wonderful way for them to promote flag football. And you want to bet they start their own, like, big-time flag football league, that's part of this as well, part of the marketing for the NFL. So, yeah, it'd be great. It'd be fun. And all the sports should be part of it. Baseball, just pause the season for a month if you have to. It's fine. No one's going to die. Play some doubleheaders. Everything will be okay. And you can make the schedule work. Start the season earlier if you have to. Just figure it out, right? Come up with an answer. And I agree. All these athletes should be in the Olympics.
Why does it feel like this year is like the most, I guess, garbage talk towards Patrick Mahomes? Maybe I'm biased. Maybe because it's all we focus on outside of Royals baseball here. By the way, winning still. hey, 2.5 out of the Central, man. I'm stoked. But it seems like this is a year that everybody keeps attacking Patrick Mahomes. Like, I don't know if this like flag football guy is literally serious, but you go back to Vegas with the Kermit the Frog. You think about like people trying to say that, you know, Caleb Williams has more Patrick Mahomes than any other quarterback. I'm not saying that's a shot, but then you have like all these sort of storylines keep adding up, and it's like, when is enough going to be enough? And you just leave this guy out of it and just worry about winning football games instead of, you know, either making fun or taking shots or, you know, being that sort of thing to where just let him be Patrick Mahomes and just try to beat him first.
Yeah, see, I took the other side on that, Dusty. I'm of the position that this is what you want. If people aren't ripping Patrick Mahomes, he's doing something wrong, right? It's like that old line Wilt Chamberlain had, you know, nobody loves Goliath. And right now he's Goliath. So people are going to try to poke Mahomes. And when they stop doing that, that's a problem. That means he's no longer at the top of the pecking order in the NFL. And it's like, you know, you go around, no one's goofing on Baker Mayfield right now. You know, it's like, no, because he's Baker Mayfield, right? So I think it's a tremendous honor to Mahomes that everyone's goofing on him. And it goes with the real estate. And as long as the Chiefs keep winning, it doesn't matter, right? People can shout disapproval and ridicule him and all that. But people did the same thing with Tom Brady. When Tom Brady was at the top, people messed on Brady. They messed around with him all the time and made fun of his Vakakta diet and all the things that he had going on. So they had a field day with him.
Ben Maller. Yeah, Ben Maller with us here on 610 Sports Radio. And, you know, quarterbacks are starting to get named as their starter. Bo Nix, yay, in Denver. Caleb Williams coming to Chicago. And they're in town, I think, tonight for a preseason football game against the Chiefs. But maybe not. I don't know. We're not seeing any of these guys play. But where do you think this is all going to play out? Do you think Bo Nix is going to be successful? And do you think Caleb Williams can finally be the guy to kind of lead the Bears out of their non-cursing abyss?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm a believer that there is usually some beginner's luck with these rookie quarterbacks, that you can fake it for a while, but at some point the defensive coordinators will figure things out. And so I know everyone's all excited because the Texans started a rookie quarterback last year in Mr. Stroud, and they had this great year and all that, but history indicates that's still rare, even with Tom Brady saying they dumbed down the NFL to make it easier for rookie quarterbacks and all that. I still believe that ultimately the Bears and the Broncos, they'll see progress, but it's not going to be like they're going to make the playoffs this year. I know the Bears are getting a lot of love because of Hard Knocks, although you can't curse on Hard Knocks because the Bears owners don't want that, so you stay away from the bad words. But I mean, these guys are the future for now until they prove they're not the future. But I expect middling results, the occasional big-time performance, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I'm still not of the mindset that these guys are going to hit the ground running like C.J. Stroud did last year, because most of the rookie quarterbacks, there are the usual growing pains. But I love the fact they're playing. I like playing them right away. I don't like resting them. I think the Chiefs should have played Mahomes right away. I think they would have had another Super Bowl if they played Mahomes earlier. So that's my position.
Who's the Ben Maller surprise team for positive and negative? Like, who's the Ben Maller team that's going to be a good team that probably a lot of people aren't talking about right now on August 22nd? And then who's the team that maybe some people are going to be talking about come December 22nd?
Yeah, so looking around, the team that stands out, I don't know if they qualify, though. Like, no one's really talking about the Rams. I think Sean McVay, now that Belichick's gone, he's right in that group with Andy Reid and some people would say Mike Tomlin as one of the top coaches. So I think the Rams are a sneaky pick there. I'd keep an eye on the 49ers in that same division going the other direction. I'm not sold. There's a lot of people fighting for money, and it reminds me of some of the things that I heard when I was a kid from guys like Parcells and in other sports, the disease of me. You know, everyone's trying to get paid there. Not everyone's going to get the money. You got your starting star tackle upset. You've got, you know, Brock Purdy's around the corner. He's going to get paid. You've got Brandon Ayuk, who's fighting for money right now. And I want to see how that all shakes out, because Shanahan's going to have to thread a needle, because they're not all going to get paid what they want. And is that going to spill over on the field? So that's right off the top of my head. That's a team I'd keep an eye on. So are they going to take a couple of steps back, where instead of being the very top team in that division, they're in a dogfight with the Rams, and they're like a 9 or 10 win team instead of a 12 or 13 win team?
Ben, we're going to switch gears to baseball a little bit, because I've been pushing for Trevor Bauer for the Royals for the last couple of months. A lot of people think I'm nuts. A lot of people want Trevor Bauer. He says the other day he believes he's being blackballed by Major League Baseball. What do you think is going on with Trevor Bauer? And if you're the Royals, would you sign the guy for the stretch run? Because your bullpen's a gas can.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I think this is ridiculous. I know there was the scandal. He paid his debt to Major League Baseball. He got suspended. And the fact that not a single team has had interest in a guy that won a Cy Young and was very effective on the mound, and he's pitched well in the Mexican League and he pitched well in Japan and all that, I would absolutely bring him in. And I watched some of these teams. There are players right now in the big leagues who have been actual victims, they were the assaultee in actual crimes, and they're playing. It's like, well, Trevor Bauer's not allowed to pitch. I believe the conspiracy that Major League Baseball at the corporate level, he has been excommunicated, he has been decommissioned from baseball for right now. And Bauer even said it, like he went on the record, as you referenced, he said that a team told him they were interested in him, but they couldn't add him because they felt that Major League Baseball corporate was going to attack them and they were going to, sully their name in the media and all that. So, I mean, I think there's something to that. I would love to. I think the Dodgers should have brought him back. They're still paying him. He was with the Dodgers at the time all this went down. And so he's got a couple of years left. He's in his mid-30s now. But if you could get him, and he said he would play for the minimum, that's going to be music to the ears of the Royals ownership. He'd play for the minimum. Come on, bring him in.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Ben, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the final weekend of exhibition football. And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, I will not be watching. Let me know how it goes. Thanks, guys.
Ben Maller with us here on 96.5 The Fan. You can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. And, of course, it's all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty and their delicious soft pretzel.
Love a soft pretzel.
Oh, their soft pretzel is the best. Ooh. I have dreams about the soft pretzel at The Landing in Liberty. It's so good.
Unpopular opinion, God. Soft pretzels are better with mustard than cheese.
100% agree.
Not a mustard guy.
See, 100%. I would choose the cheese, but I feel like that's one of those unpopular opinions where people are like, oh, with the mustard, it's better.
So good with the mustard. Oh, my goodness. Now, it has to be brown mustard for me. I'm not a yellow mustard, so I'll go with the cheese over the yellow. But if the brown mustard is there, or a Dijon, or a honey mustard, or anything like that, give me that over the cheese any day, yeah.
Chiefs in action tonight, final preseason game.
Action, he calls it.
Yep. I mean, I don't know what else you would call it. It's action. Guys are in pads hitting each other trying to make a roster. Might be the most action you see all preseason.
For a lot of these guys, it may be the last action they see too, right?
Last Action Hero, fantastic movie. Speaking of somebody who will see zero action, Caleb Williams, but also says he doesn't get nervous.
Where your nervous level, nervous energy gets to, like, scale of 1 to 10?
Zero. I don't get nervous. Not since my first game of high school versus Gilman. I fumbled 2 snaps. Other than that, and I came back and threw like an out and up down the sideline. Other than that, play ball.
Doesn't get nervous other than his first start in high school football.
Mm-hmm.
I want to believe him. I really do. Because I think nervous can be a sense of vague. Like, I don't get nervous. I was never nervous, you know, filling in for Josh, to be honest with you. Now, again, I've been doing this for a while. But to be fair, the first time I ever did a show on air, nervous. The clock was so slow.
Right.
I thought I gave my first take and 10 minutes, 3.5.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I got to kill 6.5 minutes.
That's what I always tell people when they think they can do what we do, right? Come on in. And then, like, 3 minutes goes by and you've got nothing else to say.
But again, like, that's kind of what you want to hear, whether you believe it or not, with Caleb Williams. Nervousness as a quarterback, I don't know, is necessarily something that I would frown upon. Like, I would assume Patrick Mahomes is probably nervous in that first AFC championship game against Tom Brady. Looked a little off and then all of a sudden figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence in his playoff game against the Chargers looked a little nervous, 4 interceptions in the first half, figured it out. I think it's okay to be nervous. It's more so like, is the moment too big? And I don't know if that's the same thing as nervousness. And that's fine if Caleb Williams isn't nervous, but it's also like, there's a lot of pressure on Caleb, whether he believes it or not. He plays for an organization that has been pining for a starting quarterback of his sort of caliber. And whether you want to say there's comparisons to Patrick Mahomes, he's kind of in a similar situation, right? The Chiefs hadn't had a first-round pick at quarterback in 30 years before they got Patrick Mahomes. They hadn't had a playoff win at home in 30 years until Patrick Mahomes. The only way that you can literally prove to your fan base and prove to the naysayers like a Bob Fesco, which is totally fine because you haven't seen it yet in Chicago, is to go out there and actually do it. And the questions this year are not nerves or not sort of are you talented enough? It's can you actually pay the piper when it comes to being a starting quarterback for a franchise who spent a lot of research and a lot of money as well to make you and put you in the best situation possible. So I'm not worried about his nerves. I'm more so worried about his, you know, rapport and his performance when it comes to the NFL.
I'm worried about him and really all quarterbacks, and this is kind of a generalization on quarterbacks. Can they handle the pressure? And what I mean by the pressure is being the face of a major organization. It's one thing to be, you know, a college quarterback at USC, UCLA, wherever you play college football, right? It's one thing to be the college quarterback. When you're a quarterback in college, you're generally better than just about everybody else on the field. So you can out-athletic those guys, right? And this is for Major League Baseball as well. When you get up to the big leagues, like for your whole career, you've just been better by talent than everybody else. How do you become a better pro athlete than everybody else? It's not about what you do on Sunday or what you do during the game. It's all of that other preparation stuff. Are these new young quarterbacks in this league going to understand what it takes from the time the game ends on Sunday to the time the game kicks off the following Sunday to get ready for those games, to prepare for those games, to study for those games, to put in the work for those games, not just in the film room, but also your body and getting your body back into shape and getting your body recovered and doing all the things that are necessary to be a successful professional athlete? Because I think for a lot of these guys and just being around sports for 25 years or whatever it is, I've seen this act before with young guys coming up, whether it's baseball or whether it's football. For their entire lives, they dominated. And they really didn't have to work all that hard. They were just better than everybody else. Then you get to the NFL or you get to Major League Baseball, and everybody is on the same level or better than you. And it's a wake-up call. And the guys that fail are the guys that don't handle that situation the right way. They're the guys that go out there and think, I'm just going to out-athlete everybody. And it just doesn't work that way in professional sports. And then they finally have that wake-up call. And a lot of the time, it is too late to have that wake-up call because teams have already given up on you. The fans have already booed you. You've been demoralized, and you're not able to come back from that. So it's not about can Caleb Williams play, because he's a good athlete, obviously. He's a quarterback in the NFL, played at a high-level collegiate game. But is Caleb Williams or Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix Jr., are those guys going to be willing to do what it takes during the non-3 hours that they play, you know, during the week to get ready for those 3 hours? Do they understand how to study? Do they understand how to recover? Do they understand how to lead and all that kind of stuff that they've never really had to do before that's now on their plate? Are they going to be able to do that? And the guys that are able to adjust to the off the field and the understanding that I'm going to have to work differently, I'm going to have to work smarter, I'm going to have to work harder than I've ever had to do before, those are the guys that are going to have the success. The guys that just think I'm going to go out athlete everybody, those are the guys that are left on the roadside.
I think personally that's why I'm so in on Caleb Williams, because I agree those are you can have the intangibles on the field, but you need the intangibles off the field, right? I think that's what Williams has. I loved him from his arm. Once I learned his backstory, that's when I really fell in love with him as a prospect. This is a guy who told his dad when he was 13 or 14, I want to be a pro athlete. By the time he was 16, his dad had him in a prep school, living by himself in his own apartment, learning how to take care of himself, cook his own meals, take care of himself. This is a guy who's now taking on the TB12 diet, meeting with Tom Brady on a biweekly basis, trying to figure out, okay, how can I take care of my body for the longevity? What do I need to do outside of those 3 hours on Sunday and Thursday and Monday night? I think Caleb Williams, that's why I think he's special, because he has that laser-focused, this is who I am attitude, and there's nothing that's going
to
stop.
Well, and we'll see. I mean, that's all well and good, but then you have to put it into motion, because I do believe that, like, it's hard to tell an athlete for their whole lives how good they've been. They just dominated the competition. Okay, now you're in a pool where everybody's just as good or better than you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a wake-up call, right?
That's fair.
For 15, 16 years or whatever it's been, you just went out there and beat up on everybody because you were just better than the competition. Now the competition is the same or better than you. How are you going to respond? And for a lot of these guys, that wake-up call comes too late, you know? Like, I always go back to Mike Moustakas on stuff like this, because he was one of these guys that believed he was just going to out-athlete everybody, and then got sent back down to the minor leagues, kind of had that wake-up call, and then it finally kicked in. And for a guy like Mike Moustakas to have it finally kick in, that's great. He was able to turn it around and get back up to the big leagues, and we know what happened. He had an amazing career, and he was still in spring training this year trying to make a team, right? Like, so he figured it out, but a lot of these guys just don't figure it out because they've never had to do it before. And if you go through your whole life doing something one way, and then all of a sudden you're 23 or 24 years old, and you say, wait, I can't do it that way anymore. I've got to learn the basics all over again. I've got to learn how to study, be a quarterback, be a leader. It's tough for a lot of people to understand. It's all about that work that you're willing to put in off the field and all of that work that you're putting in Monday through Saturday to get ready for those games on Sunday. That's why so many of these guys fail at all positions in professional sports.
I also don't think Caleb Williams' number one flaw is nerves. I think his number one flaw is, can he win the big game and can he be the reason why? Obviously, in college, he lost to Utah a couple times, and we've seen kind of not the same Caleb Williams when the lights got bright. And in the NFL, you are judged on that very moment.
And that Notre Dame game, man, they hired a former defensive coordinator out of the NFL to coordinate their defense, and they made him look foolish. So maybe that was the wake-up call that Caleb Williams needed. Like, this is an NFL defense, and I just got slaughtered by them in South Bend. What's it going to be like on Sunday? Because the worst NFL defense is better than any defense you've ever faced in college.
Coming up, a mistake made by the NFL because, well, they are a money conglomerate, plus what Eli Drinkwitz had to say, which is big time in our opinion. This is Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Big game tonight.
Yeah, back here on 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, our executive producer. Chiefs, Bears, preseason game number three. The best part about preseason game number three is it's the last preseason game.
Woo!
Yay! Finally.
And who's doing the topic today? What do you want to see in preseason game number three? Five things you're looking for in preseason game number three. I guarantee you there's an article written somewhere today about that. In every NFL city, of the five things you need to see as the preseason wraps up. You know what? I need to see the regular season 2 weeks from tonight.
Woo! Please.
Can't wait.
God, I hope we slaughter Baltimore. So I can't wait for this show. This is going to be the greatest show that we have seen in Kansas City from an offensive standpoint, maybe in Patrick Mahomes' era. Like, they are motivated. There's obviously an extra game, so you can pad your stats a little bit. But they are so motivated to go out there and absolutely smash the competition like a bug on the street. And they are so fired up to go out there and destroy everybody in their way. And the more that people talk smack on them, the more fired up they're going to get. Like Flag Football Man or the Kermit the Frog thing or Jamar Chase. Like, it just continues to add up. And the Chiefs are going to go out. Like, I just picture it in my mind right now. Like, it's 45-0 in the third quarter on Thursday night. Like, I just know they got something to prove. And when Patrick Mahomes feels like he got something to prove, he's going to go out there and prove it. Can't wait, baby.
They also lost their opener last year when they revealed a banner, and they probably don't want to do that again.
Yeah. Hopefully they're not relying on Kadarius Toney to do anything in this game, right?
I don't think that'll be an issue.
And two of the three best players will be playing, so
you know, Kelce and Jones.
Yeah.
As of now.
Yep.
Eli Drinkwitz, good guy. Good for Mizzou.
I like this
guy. But our challenge is we need to sell out this first game. All right. We're a top 11 program in the country coming off a Cotton Bowl win. And in my opinion, if we don't sell out the first game, then that shows me that we're not where we want to be as a fan base yet. Okay. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Don't sit on the sideline and wait. Well, it's got to be this game. No, it doesn't. Come watch this team and be excited about this team and embrace this team. And the same challenge that I have for our players is let's have a 1-0 mindset. Let's try to be a 1-0 team and be a 1-0 fan base. Don't get excited about the game in November after the bye week. Like, I don't know what that game's going to look like. I know this week versus – or next week versus Murray State's the most important game we have. And we need to sell it out because we need to show the rest of the country that we're serious about our program.
Saturday, the first game live in Dublin is Georgia Tech and Florida State. That game's at 11 o'clock local time. Missouri plays a week from today.
Today, yeah.
They play Murray State 7 o'clock in Columbia a week from today. Mm-hmm. And then 2 weeks from today is the Kansas City Chiefs and Baltimore Ravens. So the football season is upon us. It starts Saturday, really. And then it's like you wait a week, then you get Thursday, then you get Saturday where you'll get Clemson, Georgia at 11 o'clock in the morning. That should be a fun game, number one versus number 14. But I think college football is a lot more imperative for sellout crowds because of the environment, and it kind of lets you know right from the shoot. I don't think he's wrong there because it's a Thursday night. I know what Thursday night in college is like. It's the best night of the week.
Best night of the week.
It's
dollar
fun.
Pitchers at the crossing.
Right. And this is a game I believe that. And he's a man of the people in Columbia. He's given that team a reason or that fan base a reason to be really excited about. And I don't think he's a, you know, it's not a far stretch cry that they're not going to sell that out. It's obviously the first game of the year with a team that's ranked in the top 15 in the nation in the SEC. And if you want to go see Luther Burden, who's going to be a future first round pick in the top 10, this is a game that you can go see Luther Burden have like seven catches for 130
yards. He should dominate Murray State, right?
So like, that should be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, like I look at this one, and I think the game is perfectly placed for Missouri. Kansas also plays next Thursday night. Perfectly placed game for them as well, because we know what Labor Day weekend is. It's the last weekend of you want to go to the lake. You want to get all the summertime vibes done.
We get Monday
before
off.
It starts. And yeah, right. Like everybody has that final Monday off, and then it's back to reality. Like for all of us, school gets back into session, and the real world starts to kick in, and you're back to your routine after Labor Day. The football season is officially here. Well, Missouri and Kansas are both playing these games on Thursday night, so they're taking away the excuse of playing on a Saturday and everybody being down at the lake or doing their Labor Day activity so they can't go to the game, right? And I appreciate what Eli Drinkwitz says. He is right. Missouri fans have to ask themselves, do we want to be Vanderbilt or do we want to be Alabama, right? And if you want to be Alabama, then it doesn't matter who your team is playing.
Right.
When they're playing them, you fill that stadium. And Eli Drinkwitz is saying, look, man, I've done everything. We've given you the program. We've given you great players. We're a top 11 team, as he mentioned. Now you guys need to return the favor and be there and be part of this thing, because that's what you do in the SEC, right? That's the way the SEC now works. If you're going to be a premier program, you need to sell out those stadiums, because what it does, obviously, it generates money. But if you got recruits at these games and they see 3/4 full stadium and it's not full and they're like, where's all the fan support, man? I want to go to an 80,000 seat stadium. I want to go to a 100,000 seat stadium at Tennessee and be surrounded by all those fans. Like, this is the next step in being a legit program if you are Missouri. Now, for Kansas, they got, 2 years where they're playing all over the place before their stadium's ready, before they go back to Lawrence. But if Kansas has a good season and they make the college football playoff, I'll be honest with you, Lawrence better be sold out going forward, and fans better be in the stands, because KU's finally giving Kansas fans what they want, and that's a football team to be proud of. And when they put the product on the field, then you have to support it. I understand in the throes of things like with the Royals right now, people are complaining about attendance. Dude, people's plans have been made for months. Money's been spent. The Royals surprised everybody. The attendance should factor in next year. That's when people will start to show up, right? Because they show you that they win, then you go. But for Kansas and Missouri, you're getting a good product out there right now. It's time for those fans to show up and be part of that. And I appreciate Eli Drinkwitz going out there going, hey, man, we got to have you guys here. We need to make sure that Missouri is looked at as a big-time program and not just another Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it's also the first game of the year in a college town on a Thursday. And not saying that everybody's going to have to stay for the entire game, but
because it could be over at halftime.
And that's the best way
to
do
it. And you hope it is.
You go to the first half, and at the start of the second half, 9:30, 9:15, maybe 9 o'clock. Then you go hit up, you know, the field house, or you go hit up Harpo's. You go to that in Columbia, and then, you know, you watch the rest, have a good time. And then if you are a smart college student, which I'm being facetious here, you don't have class on Friday.
Right.
You went to your advisor, which I remember the first time my advisor.
Oh, I figured that out real fast. I didn't have class on Friday.
Oh, I punked my advisor.
No way, yeah.
I went to my advisor and said, yeah, I can't have class on Friday. He's like, oh, you want to go to Pine Street in Warrensburg? He's like, no, actually, I work on the weekends. I like to go home on Friday morning and work a double at the restaurant, and then work Saturday morning, and then head back to school. Oh, I'm sorry. I just, most kids want to go out. And then I was like, as I left, I had like the poo-eating grin on my face going, no, I definitely want to go out on Thursday night for sure.
Yeah, right. No, of course it is. You definitely want to. But I wanted to go out on Thursday night, and I wanted to start drinking early on Friday. So that's why I didn't schedule any Friday classes. Yep. Like, I hate to be that guy, but that's the way college was for me. It was more about the social activity and having fun and being 300 pounds than it was about sitting in a meteorology class. It just wasn't interesting to me. And I think a lot of the stuff you learn in college, you learn how to be an adult. You learn how to budget time. You learn how to accomplish tasks, all that kind of stuff. But you also have to have fun, because once you leave college, it's off to the working world. And so if you can figure out ways, they always say work harder or work smarter, not harder. I figured that out in college right away. I'm like, wait a second here. I don't have to take a Friday class. I can load up on Tuesday, Thursday and not have to take a Friday class and have a 3-day weekend. Oh, I'm in on that. That's how you have to do it. I have no issue with admitting that that's the way it was in college for me. I want to say the last, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years I was in college, if I had a Friday class, it was very early in the morning. Mm-hmm. Didn't mind getting up. That was not a big deal. But, man, I needed to be at the wheel at noon getting a burger with the grease running down my arm and $5 pitchers of Coors Light waiting for Drew's mom to show up to pick up the tab.
Right.
Because for me, it was more important to get a seat at the wheel than it was to go to a class on Friday.
Put that honey on your crust, boy. That was the best part about the wheel pizza. Dip that crust in the honey. We'll get into Sunday ticket controversy a little bit later in the show, because I think it is a good point to bring up, because I have my strategy for Sunday. Maybe you guys have your own. But Fesco in the Morning is not the show anymore. Welcome to the FM side of 96.5 The Fan. We call this Fesco and Dusty. It is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LipMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. It's gear up time for the Riptide on the Royal Caribbean Cruise that continues to cruise on through into that playoff push. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.